Hey, again, welcome to our village board meeting, a regular scheduled village board meeting on Monday, April 12th. It's 7:03. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez, I don't know if I see you.
Here.
Oh, there he is.
Here.
Okay. Trustee.
Do you hear me?
Okay.
Yes, I hear you now. Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Hennick?
Here.
Did I hear a here?
Yeah.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Aducey?
Here. If I can ask please to stand to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have a few public comments here. Susan McCauley, are you on?
I'm on. Hi there, am I on mute or not? Not,
nope,
okay.
We can hear you.
Okay, good, thank you. And thanks for giving me a couple of minutes to speak here. I live at 310 Park in River Forest. I've lived here for 20 years, raised two kids, went to Lincoln and Roosevelt and OPRF. So when I saw the fact that we were going to have a diversity, education and inclusion, advisory group, I was really excited about it because I have two children of color who I raised in River Forest. And I also am the co-founder of Minority Business Enterprise. And so it's a subject that's really important to me. And, you know, I reviewed the agenda for today's meeting, start to finish, plus all the handouts. And I didn't see anything in it about the committee or whatever, the advisory group. And in the past, when I've applied to volunteer to be on the DEAR committee or whatever other things, I just didn't hear anything, which made me assume that I hadn't been one of the people who was asked to join. And it is what it is. But not having heard anything this time and not seeing anything on the agenda, and because this is so important to me, I wanted to inquire as to what is going on. Has the group been established? Have the members been chosen? Has a meeting occurred? So that's the reason for my presence here is to ask for information or an update on as to what's going on with the committee and when the members will be announced.
Yeah, thank you, Susan. You should have gotten a letter by me or by the village indicating that.
No, staff sent letters.
Yeah.
We'll look into it.
We sent letters to everybody that applied. So if you didn't get one, please accept my apologies. Indicating that we happy that you applied and that, you know, we're waiting for all the applications to come in. So if we can make sure that Susan gets one and make sure that everyone's gotten one, that would be great. So I apologize for that. And yes, we're very excited about the advisory group. And we're just going through the list that came in, right? And I will be distributing that to the village board for them to look at. We've got a few things I think we're looking at in terms of a couple people that are on different commissions and also want to be on this. So we just want to get an indication as to, you know, if they want to be on the advisory committee and the commission or what. So other than some of the administrative stuff, you'll be hearing about this real shortly.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
And again, I apologize for not getting a letter, but please, we'll make sure you get one, and we got to do better at that. So my apologies.
No problem. Just wanted to make sure I hadn't heard.
Yep.
The fact that I hadn't heard anything didn't mean anything.
No. Yeah. No, okay. No, we're excited about it, and it will absolutely happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So Margie, you're up next.
Thank you for a chance to comment. Most of my comments are about Lake and Lathrop, but not entirely. On Thursday, there was an update to on the agenda for Lake and Lathrop that was pulled on Friday. It was agreed to in March by Lisa Shiner and with a nod from President Ducey that we would receive that. The village website update is insufficient. And in fact, it duplicates, the April update duplicates some of the brief comments made on the March update. I noticed that according to the village website update, we haven't the developer hasn't finalized the village plan review, nor have they even filed the final plan review with WMRD. And according to President Ducey's campaign, the contamination is complete, but what I'm interested in knowing is the status of remediation. There's no Illinois EPA sign-off that has been acknowledged to the public. This is a public-private project partnership using what I understand is our leftover TIF money of $1.9 million. We're foregoing property tax revenue on that parcel, municipal taxes, sales taxes, communication taxes. Therefore, each property owner in town will have their taxes cover the foregone revenue off that. And this is going to continue for 3 years out, most likely, because the developer appears to be nowhere near ready to start construction. Trustee O'Connell, is he on here? Trustee O'Connell, you commented on election day, you were overheard saying that you conversed frequently with Marty Paris. I would ask you to define the nature and extent of your relationship with Marty Paris so that all residents are aware. All trustees, unless you demand updates and a full review of this project and where it is, you are complicit. And President Ducey, do you want this black hole to be your legacy? Lastly, my comment is regarding the smear campaign by Dan Proft against Trustee Hennick on Section 8 housing that occurred a few days before the election and spread by River Forest residents. It's abhorrent. It smells of 1980s Chicago style politics. This board and the candidates for this board should have spoken out against that style of politicking. Our village can be better than that. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Okay, Phyllis?
One just a second here. Let me get my documents up. Okay, so I am Phyllis Rubin. I live at 411 Ashland Avenue, which as you know, is just south of the empty lot that's Lake and Lathrop. As Margie said, you were supposed to have it on the agenda. It was on the agenda to have an update today at this board meeting. It was removed. We're worried that it's not going to be built. And so I have a few questions. Why was it removed? Who asked for the removal? Why is the board not insisting on regular updates? And because what happens in the absence of any information, and we're certainly interested in it, what happens is we take guesses. And when we take guesses, this is not very becoming of the board and the contractor. So what we would like is real information here. The guesses mean that nothing's happening or it's not happening in the time frame that it should be. And so we don't want assurances from you, we want facts. You know, I want a little analogy. If this were my kitchen and I were getting a remodeling, having a kitchen remodeled, and the contractor was supposed to come today and they called yesterday and said, something has come up, can't come today, will come next Monday. I'd say fine because, you know, things happen and we understand that. If they again called next Sunday and said they can't come on Monday, I would get a little worried, but I might give them some leeway again. If they called the next week and said they weren't coming again, I would then get another contractor. And I think you would too if this were your kitchen. So this is not our kitchens, but it is our village. And actually, this is more responsive. If I don't get my kitchen remodeled, it hurts me, only me. If we don't get this building built, it hurts the whole village. And as Marjorie said, it's hurting us now. So we want you to be responsible and to hold this contractor or developer accountable. The other thing I want to know is, I know that the number, they can't start building until there's a certain percentage of the units sold. I want to know how many have been sold. My building wants to know how many have been sold. I agree. I didn't, Bob O'Connell, I didn't hear you say that you talk to Marty all the time, but Amy Paris told me you talk to Marty all the time. Now, you know, we should know your relationship, but I have friends and I ask them what's going on. So if they've told me that they're involved in something, I will ask them, so what's happening? So maybe you're his friend and you're asked what's happening, but if you're giving information that the board and the village doesn't have, I think something's wrong with that. So we need to know. We at 411 are really worried that the building's not going to be built. And if it's not going to be built, like any good kitchen remodeler, you will move on and find a new contractor. If you aren't doing that, then you're not taking good care of River Forest. One more little request. Please find a way to inform those of us who either speak on a topic or write to you on a topic or live near a topic. I think you have to inform people who are near a topic that it's being on the agenda of a board meeting or a commission meeting. That would really help us a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis. Okay, Lee Neubecker, please.
Hey, Kathy, can I just ask a question? Can we respond to those two residents' questions now, or do we have to keep moving on to the next public comment?
I'd like to keep moving on to the next public comment.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure we'll talk. Okay, Lee.
Hello, can everyone hear me? Is my audio on?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you for having me here. I wanted to update the Board of Trustees on the meeting that we had last week for the River Forest Economic Development Commission, which I chair. We were tasked with discussing how do we help businesses in River Forest during the time of the COVID fallout and what measures might we do to respond to. And we had a great brainstorming session. I believe the Zoom video is posted online if anyone wants to hear the conversation. But one of the things that came out of this is a concern over the impact on restaurants in River Forest that might be subjected to further restrictions on indoor dining. And the commissioners were unanimous that we should communicate that if deaths continue to decline in Cook County and cases maintain at a very low rate of one new case a day, which has been the average recently, that we should encourage them to hold the line on that. And I wanted to share some of the facts that kind of back up our thinking on this process and get this out there so that the trustees can think about it and residents have a chance to weigh in on this issue. So the first, one of the first things that we want to point out is that the numbers is reported by the Illinois Department of Public Health. They track outbreaks. We're in region 10. And this shows where the outbreaks are coming from. And if you see the pie chart here, restaurants have only accounted for 1% of the outbreaks that have impacted suburban Cook County. The principal places where COVID's been outbreaks have happened have been childcare, senior living facilities, group homes, behavioral mental health facilities. Those four groups account for more than 50%. And one of the things that we've noticed about this is that those groups, you have a lot of people mixing and a lot of interaction, which is a little bit different than restaurants where largely people are going out with people they're already that are already in their bubble that they're socializing with. And so there's differencing, you know, some of the things that I think might be contributing to this is there's social distance between tables. Masks are worn by staff and customers while they're moving around. So people who are dining at the tables, they're with the people they're already with. And the cleaning protocols in restaurants are much better than say in retail, which is experiencing, retail is experiencing a similar rate, but you have other, you know, public events and community events, colleges, and mostly the places where people are interacting and mixing. That seems to be the greatest place where COVID is transferring. Now, one of the things that I want to point out is when we started going into the epidemic in March, I remember as a parent, I didn't want my daughter driving because I was afraid she'd get into a car accident and have to go to the hospital and get COVID. And things are, we know a lot more about this virus than we did when some of the original rules were set. And what we've seen happen is in the last 2 months, our daily, our average, the red line here delineates the 7 day average rate. And we're down to eight deaths a day in Cook County. And it's not good to have anyone die. No one wants anyone to suffer from this, but the suffering extends beyond COVID deaths. It includes people who die from suicide, overdose, because their businesses are failing and whatnot. So this is something that we think it's important that people look at, not just the cases, which largely are driven by 20 and 30 somethings, but looking at the deaths. And if we look at River Forest, we can see that this is accounting for the daily case, new case count in River Forest. We're averaging, based on the 7 day trailing average, we're averaging one new case of COVID per day, which is down from, you know, around, you know, before Thanksgiving, we were at a pretty high point after Halloween, but we're managing fairly well in terms of new cases. And I want to point out too that, you know, this recommendation is looking at numbers. It's not looking at, you know, I don't think it's partisan. We're looking at data. And what we saw early on is we passed a measure which the EDC advocated for to require masks when people shopped. And I'm very grateful that the Board of Trustees all unanimously pushed this through before Governor Pritzker acted. And that was driven by data showing that in South Korea, mask usage prevented shutdowns of businesses. They never had the shutdown and they controlled the pandemic much better than we did in the US. We didn't just push through a mandate. We also reached out to the businesses. We provided them PPE. We helped to promote the mask usage. We called grocery store operators when they weren't, you know, following it and, you know, encourage them strongly to comply. And there was social organization in our community to make sure that seniors had masks. So we're approaching this not from just a standpoint of wanting to deny what's going on, but looking at the data. And the businesses that would be impacted by this here locally would be Bertolli's Pizza that has indoor see dining. I'm not sure if they're doing that right now, but Boston Market, Fresh Time, La Paravita, McDonald's, Noodles and Company, Panera, Starbucks, Whole Foods, and Yolk recently opened where Grandma Sally's was. This is a photo that I took this last weekend of Yolk, and you'll notice that they have spacing of an empty table between occupied tables, and they even installed partitions to divide the booths. So, you know, I think they're doing a reasonable job of creating spaces. Everyone was wearing a mask when they were walking around. But if they were to roll dining back to 25%, that would severely impact this business's ability to keep that place open, at least in the short term. So why, you know, why our committee thinks that it would be good for our village to send a letter urging the governor and President Preckwinkle to just stay the course, assuming that we don't have an uptick in deaths and that cases don't continue indefinitely is because many of River Forest residents have already been fully vaccinated. There's a potential for us to get interest from restaurant groups in the city that are might be looking to diversify and get out of Chicago and open up a satellite at one of our places that we're trying to get, you know, people to come in and invest and fill storefronts. Further restrictions could hurt the businesses that are struggling. And, you know, most importantly, restaurants are not a main source of COVID-19 outbreaks, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. So if there's a need to slow the uptick in cases, other measures such as, you know, appealing to people who put their kids in daycare, that if they have multiple people at home, the governor could appeal to those families to take a break for a month and send their kids to daycare and allow the single parent families that have to work to still have their kids there. We could create more space for those facilities to have more social distance for childcare. We could divide those groups into subset cohorts. So there's other things that could happen, but I'm just concerned, and the EDC's concerned, that you know, the quick response to want to close the restaurants down isn't necessarily going to impact the numbers in the way that needs to happen. And, you know, if you're trying to cut a budget and trim a budget by 10%, you usually don't start with your smallest line items. You start with the largest line items. And in this case, the facts are showing that restaurants aren't the prime source of driving this. It's where people are socially mixing. And I think it's important that, you know, even if we don't pass a measure, I think it's important that I'm here saying this today, because I want people to know that River Forest is supportive of businesses coming here and supportive of the residents, and that we're trying to make sure that River Forest is a safe place to shop and run a business. So if there's time for any questions from trustees, I'm happy to do that now or offline. That's all I have to say. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lee. I think what we'll do with this is, this is just to give an update, and we'll consider it at our next board meeting. So let me go ahead and before we get into the elected official comments and announcements, I'll go ahead and try to address Margie's and Phyllis's questions. It was on the agenda and it was pulled because we didn't give the developer enough time, frankly. I'll be honest with you. We've been so busy over the last couple of weeks that when we alerted them, you know, at the end of the week, I think they would have been prepared, but I think we would have, you know, given them short changed their ability to present. So that's why it was pulled. The second thing too, Phyllis and Margie, I'll tell you, a lot of the information that you're asking for is on our website. So I encourage everybody to look. We update our website every day. I know Margie says it's insufficient. I'd like to know exactly what's in, you don't have to tell me now, maybe send me an email, what's insufficient in on the website, because we want to address it. But really, we're continuing to make progress with the developer, and you know, there's no real decision at this point, and they're not in default of their contract. So I do think the staff and I and others are very aware of, you know, the development and the construction. So I still strongly believe that it will get developed, and they're on their way to that, you know, to getting to that point. I have to tell you, I do take a little bit of anxiety when I hear, you know, you talk about Bob and his relationship with Marty and Amy. You know, I play, and so does Katie, play paddle with Amy Paris. Are we now in collusion with Amy on that because we play paddle? No, of course not. We're a very small community. We know each other. I mean, many people are neighbors. So all I'd ask is that you respect everybody's relationship in River Forest, and that we are neighbors and we do all care for the same things that I think you care. And I do respect what you care for, Margie and Phyllis and others who will speak on this. Again, I think the staff is completely transparent with where you're at in terms of information, the sales, even the letter of intent that they have on a couple of possible commercial tenants. So, but that's where we're at. So I just wanted to make sure I address you.
Kathy?
Okay. Yeah.
It's Bob. So first of all,
Bob, why don't we wait until we get to your, can we wait till we get to the elected, please? It would just be kind of a better way to handle the things. Okay, so we are going to go to the elected official comments and announcements. So I will start with you, Bob.
Thank you. So first to address the comment, Marty Parrish's neighbors live three doors, Marty Parrish's parents live three doors north from me. Marty has occasion to visit his parents. I have said hello to Marty. I've talked to Marty. I've never had any conversations with Marty about his development outside of what I've gotten from Lisa Shiner and Eric Palm on meetings that I have with them every Tuesday morning to keep abreast of what's going on and to offer guidance and counsel to them based on my experience in the development community. So then the other conversations I've had with Marty have been to address the slander and the crap that's been on Facebook about his development. He is under contract and has not violated his contract. And so if people want to understand what's going on, read the contract, read the redevelopment agreement, and stop slandering the man and negatively impacting his ability to do business in our community. I find it abhorrent that members of the board talk about negative about someone who's trying to do business and progress a project in our town. And I just ask that it stop and let's let him run his course. And when the contract expires, then we'll deal with it.
Okay, Bob, thank you. Trustee Hennick?
Yes, I want to say good evening to everyone. And I want to apologize for missing this meeting, the earlier meeting tonight. I was caught in some unexpected traffic coming from out of town. So I have a couple points I would like to address. The first is, with a week to reflect on the recent election cycle, I want to acknowledge that we as a community need to denounce the actions of some, including a sitting commission member, who chose to use tainted outlets such as West Cook News and other tactics to spread lies and attempt to smear candidates like myself and a District 90 school board candidate. This should never be tolerated in our elections. And those involved should be held accountable. Residents should expect that if they decide to run for office on behalf of the community, that they will be respected and should not fear the same happening to them. I stand firm in my call for increased representation, inclusion, and accountability. I hope the Village Board will seek to engage the 1,000+ residents who also share this vision and wish for a role in our village. As I've noted often during my term on the board, public service is a contract we forge with the electorate. We stand as a proxy for residents and village deliberations, and that demands an engaged community to share its vision for our community with us. Second, I do want to address the Lake and Lathrop issue. I have been asked repeatedly about the Lake and Lathrop project and have brought those questions forward as they reflect questions asked of me, a sitting trustee. In fact, I have repeatedly myself asked for information regarding this project since November 2020, when it was not received by March 2021, a public request was made. I find it unacceptable that after an update was agreed to on March 8th and published on this agenda, this past agenda on Thursday, that it was then pulled on Friday without public notice. Where again is the transparency? The board is accountable to the community on this matter of financial significance, and that accountability starts by holding the developer and village administrator and staff accountable for an update based on current data. I don't accept the explanation that the developer was not given enough information to have an update ready in this past week. This was agreed to March 8th. It's reflected in our minutes tonight that this was agreed to. There was plenty of time for an update to be given. We should be getting regularly updates as it is. And so I do have some questions I would like to ask, and I expect that I would like to have them answered right now. I have been trying since November 2020 to have it shown that the current contract does not dictate that this project needs to be completed November 2021. Where is that proven otherwise? Where can I find that information? Where can residents find that information? I would like that question answered.
Say the question again.
So right now, according to the current document, current contract, this project is to be completed by November 2021. I have been asking for clarification and proof otherwise since November. Where is it shown that this project does not need to be completed by November 2021?
There isn't. That's the date.
And so how do we possibly think this project is going to be completed, seeing as we are now in April of 2021?
Again, Patty, we've talked about this. It's about negotiations. And so right now the contract is not in default.
But we as a board at any point can make the decision to move forward differently with this project.
If we choose.
I'd like our village attorney to weigh in on that.
It doesn't matter. Here, guys, this is supposed to be your comments, and I'm trying to make this pleasant for us and nice and not accusatory. So, you know, unless you want to, Greg, weigh in, I think, finish your statement, Patty, and I'd like to then move on to Trustee Brennan.
So I'm sorry, you know, you say you want this to be pleasant and nice. This is a very serious issue in this community.
Agreed. And we
I
know
do not
that
believe that things have been as open and transparent as you perhaps want to claim.
Okay. All right.
And I think it's very unfair to the residents not to get the answers. And people should not have to seek these answers out on the website to just say, oh, they're on the website. It was specifically agreed to that this would be answered tonight. And seeing as we are supposed to get regular updates on the progress of this report, I expect to have some response. Do we know how many sales there are? Do we have confirmed sales? That's something that we should be getting regularly. What are the confirmed sales?
It's all on the website.
No. Anything else? You don't need to direct me to the website. I want to know how many confirmed sales are there right now?
I think it's on the website, right? Seven? Six plus one? Go ahead, Lisa.
Six under contract, one contract pending.
And when have those been signed?
Oh,
I don't have that information, Patty.
But see, that's information that we should have. I mean, this is not a surprise that we were going to have an update tonight.
Why would we have that? Okay. Are you finished? If you're finished, I want to be constructive. Okay. If you've asked a question, we've answered it. You know, I don't think we need to know exactly when they've been signed. I don't think that matters. What matters
is how many have
been signed. Okay. Are you finished, Trustee Hennick? I'd like to continue to move on.
Okay, I would like to ask one final thing and want confirmation. When will a public full update, sales, timeline, when can the community expect that at our board table?
You know, I think that's what we will, again, I think once we get, we're moving along on the different permits, and I'm looking to you, Lisa, because I know you're working with them. And when we have, I think they're making a lot of progress on both the building permit and the water reclamation permit. And I think those are coming in pretty nicely. And so I think once we have more decisions that we have to make as a board, I think that's when we bring the issue to the table.
So I personally find that unacceptable. I think our next meeting needs to have a full update.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Brennan.
Thank you. I have three things. First, it regards the bike plan implementation, which is a lighter topic. Residents have been noticing the sharrow markings on our roads, and questions about what they mean, what they're intended to do on various forms of social media. These are the double chevron markings in addition to the image of a bike that some of you may have been seeing. Basically, I know that they exist on Lathrop now. So I'm really pleased to see that we're starting to implement the bike path plan. The double chevron with the bike image is supposed to guide bikes to the most visible section to ride with moving traffic, not next to cars, but in front and behind, outside of the door zone of parked cars. They also indicate to motorists as well as cyclists that they are intended to share the road and encourage cyclists to ride in the center of the shared lane. Can everyone mute if you're not speaking?
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry, Katie. I should have, yeah. If everyone can mute their phone, I'm not quite sure. Maybe, let's see. Thank you.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask John Anderson if he would be able to prepare a short information piece about the overall bike plan project and status, and then specifically what these Shero markings mean and the website, and perhaps it can be shared in the e-news as well, because we have residents who, you know, have not kept up to date on what the bike path plan is, what these Shero markings mean. And they want to know, and really for everyone's safety, they need to know. And anticipating that John will say yes to this, I went ahead and asked Andy Basney, who was the chair of our bicycle task force when we put together this plan, if he'd be willing to review something that you put together, and he said yes.
Sure, we can do that, no problem.
Thank you, John. And then the second thing is that the trustees, I think, all received a message from an individual who's associated with an entity called Hope for the Day, which is trying to empower conversations about suicide prevention and mental health education. And I haven't seen anything from the village on this, but this group...
I haven't gotten it, Katie. So if you can send it to us.
It was the board member contact form, and you're on the email list, Kathy.
I remember that. I'm sorry, then we missed that.
The date
when was
is
that
March,
sent, Katie?
The date is March 30th.
Okay.
So this group their ask is that we join in a national suicide prevention and action month proclamation, and that we would join in with over 400 cities, 40 counties, and 39 different states. The municipalities of Oakbrook, Norwich, Skokie, Wilmette, et cetera, a whole bunch of this area. I was personally a little bit confused because I think that September is sort of known as mental health month, but it seems like it's something else. And I was going to ask Lisa if you maybe could reach out and get some more information and see if this is something that we do.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I don't know how we missed it, right?
Because
we normally pick all those up. So,
yeah. Katie, if you could send that to me, that would be helpful. We're certainly, whatever we can do to use our communications platforms, and we'll follow up, certainly.
Yeah. I will absolutely do that. Yeah, thank you. And then the last thing is going back to Lake and Lathrop. The update project was requested by a couple of trustees at our last meeting, and it was agreed that we'd be getting one. So I was glad to see that the update was on our original village board meeting agenda, but then it was taken off, and I too was wondering why. I think we do need to have more and better information about what's going on this development. And I was disappointed that this was pulled from the agenda. I'm personally confused about the status and the situation. And I know other residents are too, because we're receiving emails from them, also receiving calls. I would ask that we receive an update at our update on at our next meeting as an agenda item. But I would also ask that we get the written update within the week so that we get it within 1 week after this meeting and 1 week before the next meeting, so we have time to look at it and understand it and ask questions of stakeholders, and so that residents have an opportunity to ask questions of us, and we can get ourselves get our around it, because there's a lot of pieces here. And also, I think that our next meeting might be the last meeting that we have the benefit of Trustee Kargi and Trustee Hennick with us. They are, if I'm right about that, they're the two trustees who have the most historical knowledge on this topic. And I want to have the benefit of their perspective and their input. And I think it's best for residents for them to have that as well. So that is my ask and my recommendation. And in addition to that, I will say, because of my curiosity, I reached out to the developer this week and I spoke with him and I got some information from him that enlightened me. He did say he had 7 sales. So the information that I have dovetails with what you have, Lisa. Mentioned a term in the contract that I don't know if it exists or not, and I'm not sure if he's sure of, but I definitely want to know if there is a pandemic clause there that allows him for further. So there's so many different pieces to this that we need to get answers to. And I think the sooner we get something in writing in advance of our next meeting, and then we have a full briefing at our next meeting, that is the next step.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Katie. Kathleen? Okay. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes, thank you. Just one item. Since the last board meeting, the age-friendly committee met on March the 10th. We continue to work on the development of a survey and pretty much condensing from all the surveys that we collected and attempting to condense it to a very reasonable amount so that we can basically, we're trying to focus in on like 10 to 15 minute survey so that individuals receiving that won't be overwhelmed and would be at least incentivized to at least respond to it. But we're still discussing that and we'll continue to work on that at this coming meeting. We also had a discussion with DeAndre Rutris and Steve Robinson from the Northwest Austin Council, of which they have been handling their senior issues as well. And they also were kind enough to come to our meeting and give us their experiences on how they developed their survey, how they went through their process to collect and encourage their seniors to respond to it. So we thought that was helpful. And it also gave us the additional introduction to working with another community besides Oak Park and Forest Park regarding senior citizen issues. So we thank them for that and look forward to working with them. Other than that, that's all I have for today. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Russ. Trustee Kargi?
Other than to thank everyone who ran in the recent election and congratulate the winners, I have nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Okay, Trustee Bachner?
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to start off with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that once and still is inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi nations, and more. And we remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I also want to wish all who celebrate a Ramadan Kareem. Today is the first day of month-long Ramadan. So Ramadan Mubarak to everybody who celebrates. And also want to acknowledge that this is April is sexual awareness. Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. So if you have a friend who needs help, you can contact the RAIN hotline, 800-656-HOPE. That's 800-656-4673. I do want to acknowledge I've been receiving many comments from residents about enjoying the opportunity to engage in our board meetings via Zoom, that it is making it so much easier for them to access information and be a part of the community in this way. And so I do hope that when the trustees do go back to in-person meetings, that the option for Zoom in this way is available. I think people really found it helpful.
If I can just add for Erica, just to let you know, there is a bill, Erica?
Yeah,
a bill that's going through the state legislature right now that would allow us to do that. So hopefully that will get passed through both chambers. Illinois Municipal League supports it. Certainly I support it. I think it's the best way to create transparency and openness. So, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I have seen that bill. So hopefully it does pass. Everyone call your state representatives and state senators for that. I did see on social media that there were people who are interested in getting an update, an overview on our disaster planning and emergency planning, and would love to be able to provide that to people in relation to River Forest and what we have as response. So I think, Kathy, you may have mentioned that you were interested in doing that sometime this month, if it's an option. I think people would really appreciate that.
Sure.
And then want to address Lee. Thank you, Lee, for coming on to our meeting this evening. And thank you for the information and providing data around COVID in Cook County and in River Forest. I do believe that a lot of the news that I am seeing is forward-looking, with public health officials concerned about the next few weeks, because people, now that there are vaccinations, people believe that they can go out with less danger of getting COVID. And so whether or not people have the vaccine, and because it's the spring and summer months and it is nice outside, that people are, I think we're ramping up for a surge that we don't want. So I am definitely in favor of looking at the numbers, but also going along with what our public health officials' recommendations are. And that when we can, that we begin to, that we continue to stay the course, but if there are projections out there that we need to restrict to keep us all safe momentarily so that we can all enjoy ourselves in the near future, I think that is important. But Lee, you do bring up a point about where can we help our businesses in River Forest? What can we be doing? What creative solutions can we be coming up with? And I consider what you and the commission did on Friday is looking to be creative around that. So one idea that I had come to mind was, I know Oak Park does a holiday promotion where you shop, keep your receipts, and I think you get gift card or something. Is that something that we could do for a lake shop summer in River Forest to promote safe shopping and restaurant eating and takeouts? So and there might be other ideas as well that we can do. I do want to address the residents and who spoke to Leith and Lathrop this evening. And I too was looking forward to an update on that. I do think it is prudent as trustees for us to ask for that update. I myself am very interested in understanding from the developer what their plan is for that November 2021 date, and to hear from them how they believe they can get to that point. So I'm looking forward to having that. I agree with Trustee Brennan that I would like to see that at our next meeting.
All right, so that concludes our comments, right? So then we go into a public hearing.
Did Rez go?
Yeah, Rez went. So do you want to do the public comment, the public hearing?
Yeah, so Kathy typically called the public hearing.
Okay, so we're going to call the public hearing for our fiscal 2022 village operating budget.
All right, thank you, President Adduce. Rosie, do you want to say a few comments, or were you kept passing that off to me? Hang with us 1 second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now I've got it. Thank you. Nope, I got it. All right. I misunderstood your email. All right. The fiscal year 2022 budget was presented at the Committee of the Whole earlier this evening. That audio is recorded and available on the village's website within the next 24 hours or so, should anyone wish to listen to that. And the budget is also available on the village's website at brf.us. Pursuant to state law, the village is required to hold a public hearing on its annual budget prior to its adoption. The notice of the public hearing was published on March 31st, 2021, and that was in the Wednesday Journal, correct? Yep. Notice must be published at least 1 week prior to the hearing. The budget has been available to the public for inspection at the Village Hall and on the Village website. Again, that address is brf.us. I invite the public to make comments at this time and note that the Village Board will consider final approval of the budget at its April 26th meeting at 7 o'clock p.m.
Yeah. Yep. Does anybody have any questions for Lisa regarding our Village operating budget? Hearing none, then I guess we'll, yeah, we have to, a motion to adjourn the public hearing and then a second. Oh, sorry.
Second.
Yes, Dan. Sorry, Dan.
Wait, I think Dan Lauber had a comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan. I didn't see
it. I've got to apologize. I did not realize there was also a public hearing here, and I suspect that formality requires that I quickly summarize what I mentioned earlier at the Committee of the Hall. So again, very nicely put together budget. I think we need, I'm gonna phrase this a little differently. We need to invest in the economic development. And that's why I suggest that you add to this budget a full-time position for a professional planner, very well-versed in economic development and promotion of the village, with a good knowledge of zoning as well, an experienced planner. It will pay off. As any business person, and most of you are business people, tell you, you've got to invest to make money. And I think we have to invest in the village through a professional position to provide the support to the Economic Development Commission so that it can really supercharge its efforts and be successful. Similarly, we need staff provided and budgets provided for different committees, including the Age-Friendly Committee and a number of other bodies in this village to enable them to do their jobs effectively. We have spent a long time on this Age-Friendly Committee, in part because we haven't had professional staff. And we need a budget if we're going to do a survey. However that survey turns out, we need a budget to do it. It's not free to do a good random sample survey. And I stress again, and I want this on the record, that just putting up a survey online is scientifically worthless. It yields a self-selecting sample that is not representative of the community, and it would be a waste of our time, all this time, to do something like that. We also need to deal with sustainability. I did find, and I sent to Lisa three articles actually, about how we can save quite a bit of money regarding our police vehicles, both in terms of reducing their idling time. They idle about 5 hours a day. This can be solved that saving a small fortune, as well as lengthening how long the cars can stay in service. That relates also to, I would suggest, extraordinarily imprudent practice of replacing computers after their warranties wear out after 3 years. I don't know where your consultant comes up with that, but that is just absurd. It's cost inefficient, and it's a waste of money to do something like that. Otherwise, thank you very much for the opportunity to address you, and appreciate all the hard work that everyone put into putting this budget together. Thank you.
I have a comment, if I may, please.
Yeah,
sure. I gave comments at the 6 o'clock meeting, but since you're reviewing it, I also have a question. How many days does the community have review from the time that it was published? Because you need to correct pages 58 and 60, where there's an error on the pension amounts. So that needs to be corrected. How many days, Greg Smith?
Go ahead, Rosie, answer Marissa's question.
The amount on page 58 is projected revenues that we receive. We budget the amount that's levied, but the amount we actually receive is over two years collections. So it will differ from what the budget is.
Well,
so that's where so you might look correct.
You might look at, I don't want to drag this out, but you might look at fiscal 2021. That's the only instance where the budget was different. I was trying to find out how many days, when was it posted? And if you're going to vote on April 26th, what's the legal requirement for resident review? 30 days?
No, a week, but we published it 10 days before today. We just have to do a public hearing within 10, or it just has to be published within 10 days. So if, we've already reached that limit. So we could have approved the budget this evening, but we chose to approve it at our next board meeting.
Well, thank you for doing that. I'm shocked it's so short a time period. But anyway, briefly, my comments at 6 o'clock were that we had to use reserves in fiscal 2021 in order to balance the budget. That's the only way you balance the budget. You forewent $250,000 roughly less revenue because you held taxes flat, tax revenue flat. Eric Palm warned that next year the budget will be tight. You're gonna go to bond issuance, $5.4 million. I hope residents know that. I certainly didn't know that until today. You have a lot of big ticket items in there, like alleys, like this automated water meter for $1.3 million, which isn't justified by labor savings. Your pension costs, because mortality tables changed, according to Eric Palm, the last few meetings he was here, your pension costs rose 15% in 2021, and that's a new plateau that you'll be at. Your water, we sell our water to residents and schools for 350% of the cost of water that we pay, which I objected to at the 6 o'clock meeting. And we're going to rely on the bond issuance to fund the CapEx and also probably to balance the budget for fiscal 2022, which I don't think is the way you want to run a village. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Margie. Is there anything you want to address on that? I mean, that's pretty, I mean, the bond issuance is pretty standard for water, right?
We have a bond issuance.
Yeah, it's pretty standard.
Yes, yeah. To pay for the capital costs up front, we do a bond issuance and then pay it off. With the amount of interest right now, it's very low, very low.
So, Margie, what we had this discussion at the board table many months ago regarding the alleys and what it would cost us to do the 19 alleys, and the board agreed to move those forward because the interest was so low at this point in time. So it's very normal, very usual. It's not anything that would put us in any financial straits. Okay. Any other public hearing from anybody else? Okay. If I can get a motion and a second to adjourn the public hearing, please.
Make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
Second.
can get a roll call. Thank you.
Trustee Kargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick? I'm sorry, Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Baskin?
Yes.
Thank you. Public hearing adjourned. Okay, we're moving on to the consent agenda. If I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda A through P.
Before we do that, can I pull a couple things out?
Yes, sure.
I'd like to pull out items C, D, and K.
C, D, and K. Okie dokie.
Thank you.
All right, if I can get a motion to approve A, B, E through J, L through P.
Okay, I move to approve the consent agenda items A, B, E through J, and items L through P.
Second.
Thank you. All right. Then we'll go ahead and read that, Kathleen. Thank you. Sure. Consent agenda A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes March 8th, 2021. B, Library Budget Amendment Ordinance. E, Approval of Payment to Clark Baird Smith LLP for Legal Services in the amount of $22,228.45. F, Approval of payment to Kleinthorpe and Jenkins Limited for legal services in the amount of $22,121.35. G, award of bid and contract of the 2021 asphalt pavement crack sealing project to Denler Inc. in the amount of $49,297.80. H, award of bid and contract of the 2021 curb and sidewalk replacement program to Strata Construction Company in the amount of $51,400. I, award of bid and contract of the 2021 street patching program to Schroeder Asphalt Services in the amount of $88,547.65. J, waiver of formal bid due to competitive RFP and award of contract to Siemens Inc. for the automatic metering infrastructure project for a not to exceed amount of $1,028,343. That is again, $1,028,343. L, monthly department reports. M, accounts payable March 2021, $1,307,658.62. N, February financial report. O, performance measurement report. P, village administrator's report. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Agenda passed. Okay. So we'll look at item C. If I can have, can we do them together? So we can take them together and then we can discuss them, Katie. So if I can get a approval for C, D, and K.
I move we approve consent agenda items C, D, and K.
Thank you. Okay, second?
Second.
Okay. All right, so fiscal year 21 budget amendment ordinance.
Yes, thank you for pulling that out. So this item is asking the board to approve a shift of $25,000 received from the local motor fuel tax from the motor fuel tax fund to the general fund. And I'm just curious as to what the reason for this is, because I don't understand it.
Right. Sure. All right.
So Rosie and I can tag team this. So the purpose of this is to be able to use the money for maintenance projects.
Correct. And it was originally budgeted in the motor fuel. When we first put the budget in, it was a placeholder, and we had been under the impression that this revenue needed to be used like other motor fuel revenues. But in fact, this revenue can be used for maintenance and run any programs related to motor fuel.
Correct.
I did get that. Some of that from Greg too.
Yeah, the notation is that the reason for why asking approval to move was because it doesn't belong there.
Correct.
So that's correct?
Correct. We're just moving the budget into the proper fund. It's not, it was already budgeted. We already were assuming we were receiving revenue. We were just moving, the budget.
Rosie, is this because of the lockbox amendment about, you know, money raised by related to transportation has to be used for transportation?
Yes, that's correct. The issue here goes more to the treatment of motor fuel taxes that the state distributes to the village versus when the village levies a motor fuel tax itself, such as the 3 cents a gallon tax. There's a difference between the use of those two funds. These funds on the 3 cents a gallon are subject to the lockbox amendment, but those uses are broader than the motor fuel tax dollars received through the state of Illinois through the motor fuel tax program.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. D was authorization to pay Celia for Springbrook annual maintenance fee in amount of $22,016.40.
Yeah, I think this is a software maintenance contract. And again, I was curious because the maintenance fee has gone up 5% from last year. It's now $22,000, which is significant to pay every year for a maintenance fee, although I don't think it's unusual. I know software maintenance fees are often, after a couple of years, they actually accrue to be higher than purchasing the actual software, 60 to 80% of the revenues that the companies get. So there you go. But what I'm curious about is in this contract, are they able to continue increasing their maintenance fees every year? There's nothing in our negotiation of this contract that holds that fixed maintenance fee, or are we going to be seeing this every year that they can jack up the maintenance fee 5% or more?
That's a very good question. You kind of become in a rock and a hard place because we use this software. We would have to go out for an RFP to change financial software, which is a beast in itself, making that conversion. So we look at ways to try to negotiate with them, and we will continue to do that.
So I think Katie is bringing up a good question. I mean, this is kind of where I lived for 33 years. I mean, but your original contract with Springbrook, how long has this, Springbrook has been, we've been using that for how long?
Software? Since probably 2005.
Yeah. So I'm guessing, Katie, that there is a negotiation that happened for a 5-year, 10-year, whatever, and it's probably been lifted. And so the question is do you negotiate this on an annual basis or on or can we negotiate it on a 5-year basis?
And I will review with Springbrook and find out what our current term is right now.
Yeah, I'm going to guess you're on an annual one.
I'm assuming that also.
And Kathy, if I can add to that too. Other contracts I've seen will have a maximum annual increase that you can have. I haven't seen, I've seen them try more than five, but I think we can hold them down to 5 and maybe even as much as 3%. And it's usually not to exceed that amount, especially if we're looking at an annual basis. But I would try.
I agree, Rez. I think this is, you know, for maintenance, annual maintenance, I think it's on the lower end. But to you, Katie's point and Rez's point, that's where we want to keep it.
Correct. All right. Yes. I will reach out to them, though, and go further into it.
Yeah. Good comment. Yeah.
Thanks, Rosie. I understand we purchased the razor and now we're having to pay more for the blades, and that's classic, yes. But let's keep an eye on that. And then the last one is letter K, the intergovernmental agreement with CMAP, which looks like a good deal, and I agree with it, but I have a couple of questions, one about one of the terms and also about some of the dates in it. So the agreement is supposed to be 5 years. All changes are supposed to be mutual, and both parties can order a work suspension or make changes if it's agreed to mutually. And then there's a term that CMAP reserves the right to extend the term of the agreement unilaterally for its own convenience. And I don't understand why that term's in there.
Determining? Do you know? I missed that.
It is.
I missed that, Katie. So
part two, section 1E. Okay. So you know the whole agreement hums along nicely. Everyone has to agree to all the terms. Has to be in writing. La la la. And then there's this term that says, "Oh, and CMAP reserves the right to extend the term of the agreement unilaterally for its convenience." I just don't understand why that term. It's an unusual term.
To extend it unilaterally versus cancel it.
Yeah, that is unusual. Thank you for catching that, Katie.
That is very unusual.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. I mean, this is really, I suspect this is probably their standard IGA, and this is really intended to be for a short-term engagement. So right. We can go back to CMAP with those comments. I mean, if it depends how you want to handle it tonight. You could always provide me with that feedback, and we can negotiate those points.
So what should it be?
That should just be out. That section or part two, section 1E, I think, I don't have the agreement in front of me, but I think it should be stricken because it doesn't conform with the rest of the agreement. And we don't want them to have a unilateral right to affect the term if we don't want that.
Right.
Wait a minute, Rez.
The next sentence does provide that any change to the term of the agreement shall not be binding unless specifically confirmed in writing by the authorized representatives of both parties, which is inconsistent with the prior sentence, but suggests that they can't extend the agreement, which only calls for a lump sum payment, by the way. These aren't recurring payments that the village would owe, so an extended term would conceivably get the village more services at the same cost, but it does speak to mutual consent to make it a longer term. I just want to point that out as well.
So is it in our best interest to strike that sentence and just?
I think the Trustee Brennan's suggestion to ask CMAP to remove section 1A of part two is a good one.
Yeah, okay.
And then I have I also have some confusion about some dates in the agreement. Preliminary start date is noted as March 15th of this year, which has already passed. Date is noted as July 31st in one section, and the end date or the work completion date is noted at June 30th in another section. So there's some inconsistencies in this agreement on the dates.
Yeah, so we started with a project charter, and the dates have been a little bit fluid at this point because we just sat down with the ZBA at their last meeting last week to talk about initiating this. So when they drafted the project charter, it was listed as a preliminary start date and a preliminary end date, but obviously those are going to be massaged as we go forward with our public meetings on a schedule that, you know, obviously we want to get as many ZBA members there as possible for all of these discussions and hearings, so we need to be a little bit flexible with that. So when I was looking at the project charter, we, on a phone call with CMAP, had agreed that that's really intended to be a little bit more of a diagram than a hard and a fast, but in terms of the contract, we can certainly make sure all the dates line up. Obviously, we would need to do that.
Right.
Yeah, just at the beginning.
What do we want it to be? What do you want the survey to be, Lisa?
So, I mean, some of this is subject to the availability of the Zoning Board of Appeals and the Village Board of Trustees. So the way that we envision this project unfolding is that we're going to kick it off with an initial meeting with the ZBA on March 20th. And that'll be basically like an ADU 101 presentation and all the technical things
April,
you ever wanted to
April
know.
20th.
March 20th is passed.
You said March.
Oh, I'm sorry, May. My goodness. May 20th is when we're sitting down for that meeting with the Zoning Board of Appeals. The next thing that we would need to do is have CMAP mark up our existing zoning ordinance and bring those changes back to the ZBA for some additional discussion and public commentary, because obviously we want plenty of opportunities for public engagement on this as well. From there, the plan is to bring it back to the Village Board of Trustees, because there's no sense going forward with a public hearing if what the ZBA is talking about isn't in alignment with what the Village Board is looking for. So that's our opportunity for that discussion to just kind of dovetail the goals and the policies and intentions of the ZBA and the Village Board of Trustees and marry those two together so those changes can be memorialized and legally noticed properly so that we go back to the ZBA for a public hearing.
I trust that you know the right duration and the right start date and end date. I just want it to be right in the agreement before I agree to it.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't mean to belabor the point. So we can work through all of this. Some of this obviously is going to be subject to when the Village Board is available to have some of these discussions as well. So if I put an end date in there, it's going to be a little further out than it probably really needs to be, just to give ourselves the wiggle room we need.
Or could we put TBD? Could we do it, to be determined?
Yeah, I can talk to CMAP about that.
I mean, would that be, just to kind of, so we move it along.
We could make it December 31st, 2021 if we needed to. I know it won't go that long, but
I understand. There are certain things that are in the critical path that may or may not happen.
Right? Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, all good points, Katie. We'll get those things to all sync up.
Okay, so.
And there's one last thing. I'm sorry. I apologize. There's one last thing. It's a small potatoes because this is a small dollar a contract. It says we're paying $1,200, but then it also says there's an estimated cost of $6,452.
So there's in the project charter. Let me get down there. In the project charter, CMAP talks about the overall cost associated with this and the local contribution, just looking for the specific language, the local contribution being $1,200 towards that amount. So they need to do an estimate of what they think the soft costs are within their own organization.
Yeah, they pick up the difference.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the cost. So that includes our $1,200 and then their costs, but we're not paying that.
Right.
No.
We're not paying that.
Our max spend on this is $1,200. Now, if for some reason we need to extend the number of meetings, we want to have them come back for another meeting. There may be some additional costs associated with that, but we would have the option to elect to do that. That would not be imposed upon us.
Thank you.
So if you're okay, Katie, we can make note of those changes in item K of what
subject to attorney review, approval subject to attorney review.
Sure. Is that okay? Okay. All right. Very good. So then any question? I know, Rez, you kind of was raising your hand. I don't know, Rez, if you've got any questions.
No, with the discussion, my question was answered. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to note that, we have a pretty good relationship now with CMAP, which is really great because they can provide a lot of good information. And it was really through our age-friendly discussion and the Mayor's Metropolitan organization that, really got us together with CMAP. So I see that relationship budding, hopefully, and blossoming into hopefully something that will be really good for us.
That's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. All right. So saying all that, I will then ask the board if we can then, where are we? We've got a motion with
the record and
yep.
The vote.
Yeah, please. Okay. Item C, fiscal year 21 budget amendment ordinance. D, authorization to pay Acela Inc. for Springbrook annual maintenance fee in the amount of $22,016.40. K, intergovernmental agreement with the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning CMAP for River Forest Accessory Dwelling Unit Support. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick. Oh, Patty, we can't hear you. She's trying to say yes, but we can't hear her. Okay. Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Motion passed. Okay. All right, so we have no consent items for separate consideration, and we're moving on to recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. This is a, is Lisa doing something?
Yeah, Lisa is supposed to be presenting.
All right, well, I'm sorry, didn't know that. Lisa, are you there? I see your picture. So this is the resolution authorizing participation in the ComEd Green Region Program for Parkways for Pollinators Project. Resolution. There you are. We got two Lisas.
Okay. And Kathy, do you need a motion first before the presentation?
Yes,
or?
If I, yes, because this is a, yes, please, I'm sorry. Yes,
okay.
If I can so get a motion I'll in move, a second.
Okay, I move to approve a resolution authorizing participation in the ComEd Green Region Program for the Parkways for Pollinators Project.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, okay, Lisa.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hello. Basically, I am requesting that the board pass a resolution related to a grant that we got last year from ComEd Green Region for the Parkway for Pollinator Program. It's a $5,000 grant. We've already used that grant, and in complying with the requirements of that grant, we realized that we forgot to we did not request this authorization upon receipt. I think it got lost in the in the transition from Julie Moeller to me, and we in submitting, I believe Susan's on the phone too, we submitted our final report a couple weeks ago, and we included this resolution in that packet, and we just need to have you guys approve it so that we're in good shape. Yes, we actually submitted it on March 18th. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions?
President Ducey steps out of the boardroom for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Well, to fill up the time, I'll say thank you. I think it's, of course, we need to finish up, you know, bits and pieces to merit getting the grant. The only thing I would have added to this, and it's done, would have been to take the opportunity in the whereas clauses rather than just say that, you know, whereas the Village of River Forest desires to undertake the Parkway for Pollinator Project, I would take that opportunity in that real estate to mention, you know, why, and to say, you know, why we're doing it, that pollinators, you know, provide us, you know, 75% of our flowering plants and what 30% of our crops, and help prevent flooding by, you know, their deep roots. So all, you know, valid and wonderful reasons, and why not put it in the agreement if we had the chance, but maybe you guys were doing it very quickly, the deadline.
We actually were. We did use the form, you know, kind of the recommended format that ComEd and Openlands have given us. So duly noted, we will certainly make sure to expand upon the program in the future. One of the other requirements was to actually include on our website, I call it signage, but just give credit to ComEd and Openlands for their donation. So you will see their logos now on our website, along with the Pollinator for Parkway program. They had wanted us to actually do signage, but since we have a number of pollinator gardens across the village, we now have 55, of which 20 were put in last year using these funds in combination with funds from Planet Green, we thought it better to just put it on the website. So that's what we did. And I don't know, Susan, if you have any other things you would like to say, because I know this is my program.
Nope, I think you covered it all.
Okay, thank you. So yes, I guess we respectfully request that you kind of pass this resolution and we will then be compliant. And I will say that the we were surprised by the rigor of compliance required for this particular grant compared to some of the others we've done in the past. But all good. We're actually applying for another ComEd grant now for electric vehicles. So we did want to make sure that we did, you know, cross every I and dot every T. Or I guess it would be dot every I. You got my
I can't hear anything going in and out. All right. So did you guys already pass it?
We did not. We waited for you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Call for the vote. Thank you. Okay, so any further questions anybody has for Lisa? Okay, by the way, congratulations, Lisa. So I'll go ahead and I'll go ask for the vote, please. Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Motion passed. Okay. Okay. If I can get a motion to adjourn the village board meeting in a second.
I'll move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Second.
Okay. Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned. Okay, very good. All right. Good night, everyone. And thank you so much for attending the Village Board. Have a good night.